Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
What's happening in Washington and how it affects you? Tony and Melissa in the morning. Welcome Congressman Jim Himes to WICC 600.
All right, we welcome you, Congressman. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Tony. I'm doing fine. Still in Washington, but hopefully about past a bill that'll be very, very important to people's economic well-being in the face of the extraordinary measures that are being taken now around this coronavirus.
Well, late last night, you learned about a bill that's being voted on today. It's a piece of legislation that will provide economic relief amid the coronavirus outbreak. Now, can you let us in on what that's all about?
That's exactly right, Tony. So this follows on the heels of last week's bill, which was, you know, $8.3 billion of spending that was really targeted at making sure our public health authorities had the resources that they needed, making sure that there was money available to really accelerate work on vaccine. This week's bill, and the deal just got struck at midnight or so last night, so I'm still coming to be familiar with it myself, is really about helping people who are going to be disrupted by what we're seeing out there. So, for example, the bill contains a provision to make sure that every American can be, or I should say every person in the country can be tested for the coronavirus for free, so there will be no economic disincentive to getting yourself tested. It will put in place 2 weeks of paid sick leave for those individuals who don't have that through their current employer. It will bolster unemployment benefits because, of course, we're going to see layoffs and furloughs associated with employers not doing business. And then just as importantly, because as you know, Tony, in parts of our state, we've got families who rely on school lunches and school breakfasts. We're putting in place mechanisms to, even as those schools close, and as you know, they have been closing all over the place in Fairfield County, people will have ways of feeding their children. So there should be a vote on that late this morning, and I will certainly have more details once I've had more time to go through it.
And you know, Congressman, you know, I'm listening to you talk, and it's like a house of cards. Something like this, it's like a domino effect. Now, for one, that didn't even cross my mind, the school lunches. And this is probably the only good meal that these kids have during the course of the day. That didn't even cross my mind. Now that's going away, too, as long as these schools are closed.
Yeah, but let's be clear. Schools will be closed, but the point of this bill is to make sure that those school lunches and school breakfasts are still available. But your larger point is right, Tony. Look, let's face it. None of us have ever really lived through anything quite like this. We've seen things that are sort of like it, right, with the H1N1 virus. But this is the first time we've seen these measures, and so we need to put these things in place so that people are, at a minimum, encouraged to do the right thing. You know, stay home if you have symptoms. Let me say that again. Stay home if you have symptoms. But of course, Tony, if you're an hourly wage earner and you don't get paid if you don't show up at work, guess what? You're going to feel some pressure to show up at work. And if you work in a nursing home or if you work in a food service environment, that can be a very dangerous thing for the public. And so these measures are all designed not just to cushion the blow for people, but to make sure the incentives are right, because we'll beat this thing. The question is, how bad will it get before we do beat this thing? And that's why we need these measures in place. And of course, that's why people need to act responsibly. And I suspect you've been talking a lot about this, but people need to do the things that we know they need to do, including if you have symptoms, stay away from other people. And of course, doing what I'm doing, absolutely maniacal hand washing, and being very, very careful about getting into spaces with lots of other people. So we're going to beat this thing, but it's going to require, real effort and real discipline on all of our parts.
Congressman, you had talked about testing in the beginning of that, and I forgive me if I didn't hear this correctly in the bill. Is anything going to be discussed about being able to, I know insurance companies, we continue to wonder, are they going to cover these tests? And I know some have already said, yes, we absolutely will. But my question is, if you want to voluntarily get yourself tested, right now we know that there's a shortage of testing that's being worked on. We're hoping that money, that $8+ billion that was just approved, that we are going to get more tests done. But are we going to be allowed to just go and get ourselves tested like you would for HIV? Could you go and get a test done if you're worried or you want to just know if you may have symptoms of coronavirus?
Yeah. Great question, Melissa. And that's a very important question because right now the bottleneck in the system is the testing, and it's changing for the better rapidly. But we as a country are not testing nearly enough people nearly rapidly enough to really get a handle on this. So let's take your question one piece at a time. Right now, you require essentially a prescription, that is to say a referral from a physician in order to get a test. And the reason for that is that, you know, the vast majority of people with symptoms are going to be fine, particularly if you're under the age of 60. And of course, the symptoms of this virus look an awful lot like the common flu and even like allergies. And so what we need to avoid at all costs is healthy people who have almost no probability of having the coronavirus, you know, running around desperately trying to get tests. That will mean the test will not be there for people for whom it is life critical. So right now, in order to get a test, you need to start with your doctor. So if you're showing symptoms, and in particular, if you're older, above the age of 60, or if you've got other diseases, if you've got the flu or in any way a compromised immune system, call your doctor, call the health clinic, and talk to them about that. Because, you know, people who aren't showing symptoms or people who haven't possibly been exposed to others who have the virus probably do not need to get tested. The other thing I would mention, and this is really important, Melissa, you know, if you are showing symptoms, make the phone call to your doctor. Make the phone call to the hospital. It can be very dangerous if you show symptoms or if you go with somebody who has symptoms to an emergency room. Why is that? Because if you do have the virus, you're going to put healthcare workers in that emergency room at risk if they don't know why you're coming in. And oh, by the way, if you just have the regular flu and you show up in an emergency room, there's some chance you might actually pick up the coronavirus in that emergency room. So people need to remember, call first, talk to your doctor before you sort of start running around, you know, either looking for a test or showing up in an emergency room.
All right. Congressman, we have run out of time, but we thank you so much for taking a few minutes. You've cleared up a lot of questions, and hopefully we'll take a moment and talk to you next week. Hopefully things will calm down a little bit by then.
I hope so, Tony. Thanks very much.
WICC 600.
We continue our coronavirus outbreak coverage here on WICC 600. I'm Melissa Sheketoff. I was reading an article this morning that in the day ahead up in Hartford, U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal will be joining Senator Chris Murphy, and they will be talking about the coronavirus pandemic, specifically some efforts that are happening in Washington, D.C. And I have a feeling, Senator Blumenthal, that this is connected to what Congressman Jim Himes was talking about. He had come on our air actually about 15 minutes ago, and he said last night around midnight, a new bill came down, and it's going to serve as economic relief amid the coronavirus. Am I somewhere on the right target? Is this what you guys are going to be talking about today?
My hope is that, in fact, House of Representatives will move forward today with a major initiative to deal with some of the economic pain and impact of this coronavirus, including, for example, enhanced unemployment insurance, maybe most important, medical family leave, paid leave, so that people will have assurance when they stay home that they will be paid and not come to work. And, of course, other measures for the economic issues that confront people, like food security, an enhanced nutrition program, which for the most needy will be very important. But overall, let's remember, we face both a public health crisis and an economic crisis. And I attended a briefing yesterday that was really appalling and astonishing, because there is clearly no plan, no strategy going forward for the health crisis that we will confront in increased magnitude. First, no definite date for when the tests will be available. And as you may recall, 2 weeks ago, I was calling for these tests in light of the failure of the administration to meet its promise, the promise of the vice president that a million tests would be available. Dr. Fauci said just this morning, minutes ago, that the numbers will accelerate very shortly. I hope so, but there's no assurance, and he was unspecific yesterday. And then, speaking more broadly and more seriously, the hospital capacity surge that we're likely to see. There may be hundreds of thousands of people who need intensive care. We simply lack the hospital capacity, including ventilators, ICU beds, to provide for them. We need an immediate plan and a strategy for both the health crisis and the economic crisis.
Well, it also seems, Senator, that when I was listening to a couple other reports yesterday, the other thing that's a big problem is before the coronavirus even came to be, you used to be able to call your doctor, your primary doctor, say, I think I may have the flu. Can I get tested for it? Well, that's not really an option anymore because now those symptoms are very similar to the coronavirus. And you can't go to your primary care doctor to get the test done for coronavirus. So it sounds like we also are trying to set up, or at least it sounded like in the governor's press conference yesterday, they're trying to set up places where you can get tested, but you're not going to get other people infected. So that seems like that's another issue. My other question for you is about this relief bill. The money that you're talking about, paid sick leave, if people need to take 14 days off of the quarantine because from work and they need to get paid for it, food assistance for kids who can't be in school now because the districts are shut down, free coronavirus testing. Is this the money? This is more money besides the $8 billion that was already set aside for the coronavirus. This is extra money, correct?
Good question. And the answer is yes, it is additional money. Congress last week, as I mentioned, approved $8.3 billion in emergency spending to address the health needs of the nation, to provide more tests, to do research on a vaccine, to reimburse hospitals and healthcare facilities, local public health directors. I've been talking about this aid, which will be available to Connecticut, in fact, very, very soon. But in addition, the family and medical leave guarantees, so people will stay home. We don't want them coming to work simply because they need to be paid so they can cover their mortgage or put food on the table. If they're sick, they should stay home and they'll be paid. And then enhance unemployment compensation, food security, loans to small business were in the emergency bill, $8.3 billion. But in addition to loans and loan subsidies, there should be grants for small businesses. A lot of these restaurants, just to take one example, in the areas of schools or sporting arenas that will be shut are going to be very hard-pressed. They have employees. We want them to be able to continue in business. So this economic package is separate and distinct, and it has to be, in fact, I think, bigger than what we will do, the House will do today, and the Senate will do next week. This measure is just a first step.
How much is this bill? How much more money are we asking for with this relief bill?
We don't have a firm figure as yet. As Congressman Himes may have mentioned, it was resolved just about midnight, so I haven't seen a final figure. As originally introduced, the House bill included a $2 billion boost to state unemployment insurance, more than $1 billion in nutritional aid, and a couple of billion or several billion more for the paid medical leave part of it. So we're talking another bill in the range of the first one, somewhere between $5, $8 billion, perhaps more.
Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate that heads up, and we know you're going to be in Hartford this morning. What time is that happening, and where will you be?
We'll be at the clinic in Hartford at 10:30.
All right. Well, we appreciate you taking the time. We know we usually get to talk to you on Thursday mornings, but with the coronavirus, it's been great to be able to have you whenever possible. Thank you so much, U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime. Thank you.
We are very honored to have Pastor Dan from the Black Rock Church in Fairfield. Black Rock Church in Fairfield made the decision out of precaution to suspend in-person services and is turning to an online portal. Pastor Dan is joining us live here with details. Sir, what made the church decide to do this?
So we actually were in discussions with the director of the health department in Fairfield and the first selectman, and they strongly suggested it. So just in keeping with what other folks are doing to be prudent, to be safe and responsible, we just thought it best to move our large gathering, our worship services, online while still continuing to meet with the smaller groups that we have functioning in the church.
Now, what does this mean for other church activities? I know there's a lot of other things that go on other than just church services.
Sure. So, yeah, right now, all we've moved online is our large, weekend worship service. So, like our support groups that meet on Thursday nights, Living Free, they continue to meet. We're encouraging our people actually to ramp up their community groups, our small groups that meet in people's living rooms and homes of, you know, less than 15 people or so to stay connected in community while we have to curtail the large weekend worship service.
And Pastor Dan, I know just because I'm a Black Rocker and know you very well, that a lot of times, maybe not in our church per se, but it could be in our church as well, but any church in our area. I think when you hear about the coronavirus, a lot of times people start to go into a panic and they actually would turn to either their church or to prayer or to the Lord. And they're looking for that answer. They're looking for safety. They're looking to feel security. And sometimes when you hear, okay, well, the church, unfortunately, you can't come here on Sundays. It's just not going to happen. I have to imagine some people are feeling that way this morning, even with the online portal, which I love. I use myself sometimes. What is kind of your response to secure people who are worried right now with the coronavirus and everything and now not feeling like they can even go to church on Sunday just for the time being?
Yeah, sure. That's why the vernacular is we are not canceling church, right? We're just moving it online. But as far as everything else besides our large gathering worship service, we are completely engaged. In other words, the staff is still full on at work, probably more so, Melissa, as you've mentioned, right? Kind of praying with people, assuring people, visiting people. That's not going to stop. And again, we're even more strongly encouraging our folks who are gathered in smaller communities in their neighborhoods and connected in those groups to stay connected. In fact, we've actually added kind of an additional kind of online portal to make sure you can stay connected virtually, whether it's telecommuting or tele visual or just through email, as well as we actually have initiated something. We think this might be our church's finest hour. We've hired a part-time coordinator to help us organize so our church can be the answer for people who are feeling isolated or maybe they're afraid to go to the grocery store, pick up a prescription. We want our people to be the ones who can actually serve the rest of our community during this time of crisis so we can kind of provide that comfort and serve them in love as well as kind of provide for them and pray for them during a time when kind of, you know, the community's in panic. We want to be the ones who have this peace about us, and we want to kind of share that with people as they kind of walk through it. We want to walk through it with them.
We're talking with Pastor Dan from the Black Rock Church in Fairfield. Black Rock Church in Fairfield made the decision out of precaution to suspend in-person services. And, you know, it's ironic that we're talking to you about this today because I was telling my wife last night, everything is being put on hold, sporting events, concerts, mm-hmm. everything, Broadway. Sure. It seems that everything is just in a suspended at this point. And I said to my wife, I says, well, what about Sunday? I mean, are we going to church? I mean, what's going on? Because my church in Stamford has already stopped blessing yourself with the holy water. There's no holy water. They don't want you to drink out of the chalice anymore when it comes time for communion. And when I was a little boy, they placed the wafer on your tongue. I was always told, you touch it, hey, the devil's going to get you. But now they insist. They insist, oh, no, we're going to put it in your hand. My question to you is this the trend? You seem to be the first church that seems to be doing this. Are other churches going to follow suit on all of this, whether it's a Catholic, Protestant, whatever it is?
I think so. I think, you know, churches, we want to be a part of the solution as well, right? I heard the term this morning on SportsCenter, you know, we're trying to flatten the curve, right? We're trying to lessen the, you know, that community contact so that this virus doesn't spread any further than it has to. And so things like communion or maybe passing an offering plate, right? If we were going to have services, we were making provision to say, okay, rather than pass the plate where the, you know, kind of germs would go from hand to hand, you know, we're going to leave like an offering basket, you know, in the back as people could deposit their tithe or their offering. So you're just trying to be creative to say, how can we minimize community contact while still, you know, still getting together and kind of, you know, providing that, you know, support and encouragement to one another. But again, things like communion, things like offering, even greeting, right? We advised our greeters to say, mm-hmm. hey, yep. Rather than the handshake, right, you're going to the, you know, the air bump or the elbow touch or something like that. Certainly an extra smile doesn't hurt as a way just to minimize that kind of that close contact that just might communicate that the virus one person to another.
And actually, Pastor Dan, earlier in the show, Tony and I were talking off the mic, and he said, you know, what do you think? Should I still be going to church? You know, what should I do? And I said, well, I mean, I'm certainly not somebody to tell you what you should or shouldn't do. But would you mind actually sharing the link to that portal, that online service, so that, you know, if Tony or anybody who's listening, even if they're not a Black Rocker, if they want to still be able to get their sermons on Sunday, but they maybe don't feel comfortable going into church for now, can we share that link with everybody here just so that if they want to tune in this Sunday, they still can get a sense of that community and church in their own living room if they're scared to go to church right now?
Sure. So for the public who were, you know, we're looking to just have a view in online service, you're welcome to join us on Sunday morning. And that would be at our website, which is, you know, blackrock.org, blackrock, one word, .org. And right on the landing page there, there would be a link that you can click on. It would say, like, you know, watch a service. And so you could actually watch the service, and you don't have to watch it during our service times, of course. After Sunday morning, it will be posted there and it will stay up there. So if Sunday morning was not convenient for you, it would be available for you probably for the balance of the week.
Pastor Dan, give it to us one more time.
Blackrock.org. And when you come to our webpage, it'll be right there as a link right on that page to watch a service. And you can actually just click on that, and it'll take you right to our worship service.
All right, Pastor Dan, Black Rock Church in Fairfield, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. Hey, God bless you. Will you bless me, too?
Yeah, God bless you, Tony and Melissa. Bless you guys.
Love you, Dan.
Thank you. Thank
All
you,
right,
Dan.
I love you.
With us here is Paco Fabian, and he's head coach of the girls' basketball team at Staples High School in Westport. And, Paco, we welcome you to the show. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. Now, Staples is always a threat in the local sports scene. What was the reaction when the CIAC nixed the rest of the season? I mean, you guys must have been devastated.
Yeah, first we were kind of shocked and surprised because this is, you know, it was the first event that was canceled in any area, and we just had no idea it was coming and happening. So at first we were just very surprised and upset, and we were kind of, we were devastated.
But I have to say, Paco, after learning about the NCAA yesterday, did it make your team feel better, but did it almost secure the decision that the CIAC made? Only because up until I feel the NCAA said anything, I think a lot of local coaches kind of felt like the CIAC kind of jumped the gun on this decision.
Yeah, I mean, with everything being canceled and going on right now, we totally understand what the decision was. There was just parts of the decision we were upset about. You know, in our situation, we only had two games left, and our team has not been in the finals in 25 years. So we wanted to be able to play one more game to try to get to the finals. So there was just little things that were upsetting about it.
I had
to send a text message to my girls without any warning, and it would have been nice to just be able to tell them in person.
Yeah, absolutely. And a question for your seniors. I always feel so terribly in this situation because this is their year. First of all, I'm assuming, did you have seniors on your squad? And if so, how were they kind of feeling with the news?
Yeah, there were five seniors, and they were very upset. I had pictures and videos from girls that were just crying in the hallways of our school. So it was, you know, they were completely devastated, and it was just, when the news came out, it was shocking. If it came out after all this other stuff with the NCAAs and the NBA, we totally would have understood it at the time, but being the first one canceled was just shocking to us.
Well, and you probably would have anticipated it more. You know, if you saw that it was happening on a national scale, okay, it's probably going to happen locally. Do you think, though, you know, when you talk about two games left, wow. I mean, you think about it, if you had started maybe 2 days earlier in the season, this wouldn't have happened. Did your team have a good shot at going to the finals, getting a state title?
We were actually the number one seed. And the team we were playing next, we had beaten twice already during the season.
Wow.
So it's very, very frustrating. And like you said, we totally, you know, now understand what's going on. It's just, you know, but even to this day, I feel like sports will go on and we will move on. And why can't we play the game at some point if we move forward and, you know, maybe even 2 months? I just, you know, I wish we thought about it a little more, but I understand what's going on.
We're talking to Paco Fabi, and he's actually the head coach of the girls basketball team over at Staples High School in Westport, and certainly reacting to the news a couple days ago when the CIAC decided to nix the rest of the winter season, certainly impacting a number of, whether it's swimming, basketball, hockey, many teams obviously devastated by that. But, you know, just days later, it's starting to kind of be understandable why. For the rest of the team who are going to come back next year, your juniors who are becoming seniors, how do you secure them and kind of rebuild up this team that became brilliant this year? Like you said, I mean, you were the number one seed. How do you keep that momentum going into next year after it ended this way?
You know, the one good thing is it ended on such a positive note. You know, we had a great season. Our last game, we had the most fans we've had, I think, ever at Staples that we've ever seen. And there's a lot of momentum building. And after our meeting, we went to dinner the night that it was canceled, and everybody just said, hopefully we can come back and just have as much fun as we had this year and really enjoy basketball again next year.
It sounds like they've got a great attitude. It sounds like you're a great coach, Paco. It must have been hard to contain your emotions and all of that, because the girls worked hard all through the year, and not only through the year, but I mean, even when basketball season isn't happening, I guess they're training and they're working out, and they want to be the best player that they possibly could be, only to have it end up like this for the time being. You sound like everybody's got it under control.
Oh, thank you. Very much appreciate it. We've got a great group of kids at Staples. It was just the whole thing when it happened was frustrating, because they were even still going to schools the next day. And it was just like, if we can go to school, why can't we just play a game? But now, you know, on the national stage with everything going on, we're starting to feel better about it.
Okay. It's nice to know that you're not the only ones, right?
Yep, exactly.
All right, my friend.
I don't think we're going to be watching sports for a long time.
I don't think you can watch sports for a long time. Never mind. Paco, thank you so much for taking a few moments, and good luck in the future with you and your girls.
And thank you to all the media for covering it. We appreciate all your help.
No problem at all. You got it, my friend. We got 9:15 here at WACC 600. Now, you played sports, didn't you?
I mean, so I was a dancer. My brother did, though. My brother was big at Fairfield Prep for baseball. He was the solo captain when he was there in 2004. So it was, I was just thinking of his senior year, if it got nixed. I mean, that's a spring sport, but I just couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, I know.
Really couldn't.
It's a part of their, it's a part of their fabric,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's a part of their life. It's a part of what they do.
Yeah.
And not only that, the girls are devastated, but what about the school itself, the spirit and the honor,
yeah,
of Staples, even,
right,
even for the kids that don't play a sport. But,
well, that's just it.
You know.
Exactly. It's kind of that ripple effect again, mm-hmm. Tone. I mean, like he just said, they haven't had a title in 20 some odd years.
And now they're close.
That would have been amazing just to feel that as a school. That's just it, because the camaraderie is incredible. That's a tough pill to swallow.
It really, really is.
Here's Tony's conversation piece on WICC 600.
All right, so he just woke up, Tony, but then, you know, 3 minutes later, my brother comes through. I tell you, he is a rock star. On the line with us is my younger brother, Matthew. He is somebody who works in Disney World. He actually works for the Disney golf courses, and we just found out overnight that Disney World decided to shut down all of its parks starting this Sunday. Matthew, how are you this morning?
Doing pretty good. How are you doing?
You don't sound very good. I mean, we knew that Disneyland, that made the announcement yesterday, Matthew, that Disneyland California, it was going to shut down. But Disney World still, when I was looking it up, I had texted you actually yesterday. I said, hey, if Disney shuts down, do you mind coming on the show? And you were like, well, I'm not hearing anything about that right now. What changed? Do you know what happened?
I mean, the only thing I could think of is that, you know, it's kind of like what happened with Major League Baseball, how they decided to suspend their season because after the NBA and the NHL and MLS soccer decided to suspend, MLB followed suit on that because of the falling pressure with it. And I feel like that's what happened with with Disney World is that once they found out that all the parks in Asia and France, and then of course with Disneyland shutting down, they decided to follow suit on it, because if they would stay open, I'm sure they would get a lot of criticism if, God forbid, somebody else got sick. So they probably just wanted to be on the safe side and just follow suit on it, just to avoid any kind of spread going around.
But at this time, there's no coronavirus infection there. Nobody's been diagnosed with that who's been to Disney World, right?
To my knowledge, no one has been diagnosed. I mean, there's been a couple cases around Florida, but not really in the Orlando area. So I haven't heard anything as far as that. But, you know, obviously the one big thing is, you know, Disney's number one thing is safety, and they just want to make sure to, you know, try to avoid all costs from anybody, cast member or guest, getting the virus. So they thought it was best to shut down and then see what happens in the next couple weeks.
Now, Matthew, what some people may not know is with the Disney golf courses, you guys are owned by Disney, but it's actually an Arnold Palmer course. So now, are the golf courses shut down, or are you guys still in business? And what about the resorts?
Well, that was the update that I also got before I went to bed last night. They said that and Universal Studios is actually doing the same thing, that they're only closing down the theme parks, the hotels, and Disney Springs, and also Universal City Walk, which is like their downtown area. They're going to still remain open, but they are going to keep an eye on that as well, if in case anybody contacts it or whatever. As far as the golf courses go, that is included. The golf course is still going to remain open. As far as now, I don't know yet what they're going to do. I'm sure I'll find out either by later tonight or tomorrow what they're going to do as far as the golf course goes. So I'm just kind of hanging tight and seeing what they're going to do next.
Yeah, it's more or less day to day. But if you do get an unexpected week or two off, what are you going to do? Play golf?
Well, I mean, that would be ideal. You know, I don't know what other courses are going to do. I mean, I would hope that they don't shut down. Because if they shut down, then that's going to be a weird scenario, because then it's like, what do? You don't have any theme parks open. You don't have any golf courses open. So, I've talked it over with my family, and I think I really shouldn't say worst case scenario, because it's not a bad thing. But if I wanted to, I could always just, you know, fly home and spend a little time with the family for a little bit until this virus subsides a little bit, or until they reopen everything.
But
that's my mother talking, right? That's Claudia. That's Claudia putting the fear in him.
Now you're committed. Your mother's listening. You got to come home now. It's over. You better get on the. Start driving.
I already let the tiger out of the cage, so it's like hard to catch it now. So,
yeah, I was gonna say that's definitely my mother talking. I think she said that last. What'd she say, Matthew, in the text message last night? She said, "If Disney shuts down, you're coming home, son." And you're like, "Relax, mom. I'll find out what's going on."
Like I said, it's never a bad thing to come home and spend time with the family. Like I said, I'm still trying to wait word on everything, because if the golf courses remain open, unfortunately, that will not happen. But if they do shut down and I get any type of time, even if it's for a few days, I would love to take advantage of that. But like I said, I'm kind of on watch mode right now to see what they're going to do next.
All right, Matthew, we've run out of time, my friend. But no matter what you do, stay safe. Keep yourself healthy. And, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for calling me. And I will do that. Same with you.
All right. Here from WACC 600. Very, very funny. Your mom is home now saying, oh, now he has to come home.
She's going to start texting like any minute now. Disney World Orlando and Disneyland California, they both plan to close the parks starting this weekend. Disneyland will be shut down starting tomorrow. Disney World starting on Sunday, and that will carry through the end of the month. Now, first of all, this is the first time Disneyland California has shut down since 9/11. It has not done this in a long time. Disney World, however, has done 3 to 4 days where it'll shut down because of hurricane damage. But again, nothing this long. But many national health advisors have restricted public gatherings of more than 1,000 people, which, no surprise here, Disney exceeds that number daily, 365 days a year.
Actually, Melissa, it's the fourth time Disneyland is closed. This is Disneyland in California since 1955. The other three times were after the September 11th attacks, of course, the Northridge quake in 1994, and when President Kennedy was assassinated in 1964. 63.
Right. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, it's weird to think that the last time it shut down was in 2001. But yeah, I think I had heard that there were two or three other times before that. But yeah, it's only been a handful of times that it has ever shut down. I mean, that to me is crazy.
Yeah. And both Disneyland and Disney World, they're open Thanksgiving, Christmas,
every single
New Year's. I mean, they never take a rest.
No, I know. And I had two very good friends, a husband and a wife in New Haven. They are actually in Disney World right now. Nick and Ashley Loria, and they are joining us live on the air this morning. Ashley, do I have you?
Yes. Good morning, Melissa.
Hey, how are you doing?
We're doing great.
So it was funny because last night, Tony, I was actually texting Ashley. I was very jealous because she had posted that she was at Disney Springs. And she said, is your brother down here? And I said, well, yeah, I know he is, but he's sleeping. And and she said, we're going to Epcot tomorrow. Any other plans we should cover? And I thought to myself, I don't know. And now it turns out that Disney is shutting down on Sunday. I mean, talk about, you guys are literally there for the tail end and then you're coming home.
Our trip actually coincides perfectly because our last park stuff is on Sunday and we fly home Monday.
What's the feeling down there? How are people feeling with the virus and all of that in Disneyland or Disney World?
It's sporadic where you see some people with face masks on and some people telling their kids not to touch their face. And, Purell's everywhere. You see everybody Purelling, but it's not as widespread. It's more sporadic.
And it's interesting because I know a week or so back, Disney said that it was upping some of its health concerns. They wanted to put more sanitizers out. They wanted to do more. And Disney's actually just always been known to be one of the cleanest companies. They're very much about hygiene and all of that. Have you noticed wherever you've gone, whether it's, in the downtown area or near the parks, have you noticed that there are more cleaning efforts around the parks?
We definitely see a lot of Purell stations here and there and stuff like that. But I don't know, Nick, have you seen any cleaning crews or anything more than that?
I really don't have anything to compare it to, but it definitely appears to be Purell stations all over the place, even at the resorts that we're staying. Some additional people that are cleaning. I know that talking to employees at Disney Springs, they're like, yeah, there are people there. There definitely are people out and about. But they said that attendance is definitely a little bit more sporadic, up and down. And overall, it's a little bit lower, as I think a lot of people cancel their plans.
Now, what about you guys? How do you feel like when, I don't know what rides or attractions that you're going to, but if you get on a roller coaster and you're in close quarters, or you're at the Hall of Presidents, you're in close quarters, whatever it happens to be. How do you guys feel about it? Do you have a little feeling of apprehension?
I've had a little apprehension over the past couple of days. Like, being on the plane was interesting, where it was more like the passenger next to me started coughing, and I immediately asked Nick, I said, do you have those face masks? Because with travel like that, you don't know who's next to you and what kind of anything that they have.
Right before we knew you guys were coming on, Tony had mentioned, are your friends planning on quarantining themselves? Have you guys thought about, are you guys going to work from home?
I think from what we've heard about what's going on in Connecticut, we both might be working from home when we get back. I was going to check in with work, check and make sure that I could work from home and basically probably do that, because just better to be safe than sorry. Connecticut has been, but I feel like everything from Connecticut has been so worried about everything that, yeah, better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah, you're going to come back to a different world, that's for sure, when you come back here to Connecticut. Never mind Disney World, another world here. Hey, folks, we've run out of time, but listen, enjoy what little time you have left there and have a very safe trip home, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tony.